Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome to this very special edition of the TFL Car Podcast, and that's because we recorded this from the road. Recently, Nathan and I drove cross-country, coast-to-coast, 2,500 miles nonstop in a cannonball run to establish a new record for driving an electric vehicle across country. We were in an Ioniq 5, a Hyundai, and because Nathan is still road tripping on the way back to California, we went from Cali to Florida, we thought we should record this week's episode during the road trip. So coming up, you're going to hear the top 10 cheapest cars you can buy in America as me and Nathan are road tripping across America. Now, right here, I'm holding a phone because when we did this podcast, we didn't have the time that we set for the EV coast-to-coast cannonball. And I'm going to show it to you guys who are watching this on YouTube. No, I'm not. You know what? After we finish the podcast, we'll come back to the studio, and I will show you how long it took Nathan and myself to drive nonstop while we had to charge from coast to coast. Hey, guys. Welcome to this very special On the Road podcast because Nathan, myself, and our videographer, Cole, who's in the back seat, are trying to set a record to road trip across America. Basically from coast to coast. We're going from, the two parks that you may know, one that is in Orange County, California, to the one that is in Orange County, Orlando.
Yeah, now if you're confused, he means Anaheim. And yeah, so it, mouse ears, the whole nine yards.
But the mouse ear people didn't want to be part of it.
Yeah, whatever.
So we had to switch it up. So we're going from orange to orange, and right now we're doing this cannonball where we're going to try to set a record to go between the two oranges, downtown Orange County in California to downtown Orlando, which is also in Orange County, and we're going to be trying to set a record that you guys can break that's more, let's call it EV and family friendly, right? So we're not doing this in a very outlaw sort of way.
Yeah, we're not trying to be Vin Diesel and live our lives a quarter mile at a time. What we're trying to do is efficiently get across the country, because if we go too fast, we're going to burn too much power.
Exactly.
And if we go too slow, we're not going to make it in less than 48 hours, which is what we're aiming for.
So we thought we'd do a podcast from the road. And of course, the topic of this podcast, Nathan, are the top 10 least expensive cars you can buy in America. Because let's face it, new car prices have gotten out of control.
They're absurd.
Yeah, you're not joking. I think $48,000 now is the average new car price.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the price that you pay. And we have many examples of that. Not only that, but we also have an example in the vehicle itself of somebody who paid way under that for a new car without using my status.
Right, that's you.
That's me. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, but before we get to that, let's talk about kind of why we wanted to cross country in an EV cannonball that from, you know, one side of the country to the other. And that is because we're living, you know, in this interesting time where we're switching from gasoline, fossil fuels,
to electrification, at least, you know, you didn't live, joking. Well, we went from horse and buggy to Model T.
Yeah, yeah, and I know that was a time that you really enjoyed when you were a kid kicking the can down the street. But the thing is that there's huge changes, and we're not going to get into the everything that's behind it, the social, the political, blah, 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 blah.
We do cars and trucks.
So what we're going to talk about when we talk about this particular vehicle is the fact that we're doing this, and it's something unique. And recently, for those of you who are paying attention, we did do a very interesting road trip with an electric pickup truck going up to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska.
Yeah, we were the first to drive an electric pickup truck as far north in America as you can. Not North America, in the United States, which is Dead Horse Prudhoe Bay. And that was rather challenging because there was no fast charging. So we thought, let's do something where it's a little bit easier. But you know what? If it was too easy, it would be no fun. So we're cannonballing this, which means we're only stopping the charge.
Right.
And of course, you know, use the various gas stations / Walmarts along the route.
Yeah, I got myself a hot dog recently. Yay.
And we partnered with Electrify America to help, promote their charging network. And, of course, we partnered with Hyundai, and they give us this IONIQ 5. And we chose this car actually on purpose because it's a great road trip car because it's got a couple huge benefits. So right now I'm averaging, at this, 3.1 miles per kilowatt hour.
Yeah, and that's after we just took on some really big hills.
Yeah, and that's a great number because that basically talks to how efficient it is, right? So in internal combustion engine cars, it's how many miles per gallon you can go. With this, it's how many miles per kilowatt hour you can go. It's not that different. It's just, you know, electricity versus gasoline.
Well, you have to shift your thought process on how that all works, but it's a pretty easy way to convert. Anyway, the point is that this car is super efficient. It's got a lot of room. Even though it's not that big of a car, it's got tons of space inside, so we're able to put all our gear in here, all three of us, our luggage, and also these little containers that we're dropping off along the way. We started with like 16 of them, and they have t-shirts in them, like what I'm wearing, and they have a bottle and some other stuff in there, swag.
Water bottle, yeah, swag. We want to take you guys with us, so we always like to just hide some stuff along the way that you guys can grab and be part of the TFL Nation.
No, we're not calling it that. We're not going to do that.
I hate that. What do you think about all those like car dealerships that call themselves Honda Nation, like whatever it was like 10 years ago? Now it just seems so like silly and stupid and like out of date.
Well, calling a group of people a nation is something that is a little presumptuous in some cases, I think. So I wouldn't personally do that, but you know, to each their own.
So the other great thing about this IONIQ for this road trip is it charges really quick. It's one of the few cars that has an 800-volt architecture, which means it can charge up to 250 kilowatts, which, you know, imagine the trick here is you're going to spend more time charging than you are going fast, because the faster you go, the more power you use exponentially. So the trick is to just kind of find that balance point between how fast you go and how long you charge.
Right.
And then that charging length depends on how quickly it can suck up electrons, and this thing can do it really quick.
Yeah, in terms of 0 to 60, well, you know that almost all electric cars are super quick, but really when it comes to charging speed, that's where the new fight is. So in this case, this car charges really quick. We only, so far since we started this trip, have only stopped one time that took more than 20 minutes.
Yes.
And for the most part, we've been doing really well with being able to kind of dash and throw in up to 80% and take off.
Yeah, we should talk about that. That's another thing sometimes people don't quite get.
Yeah.
On a road trip, you never charge a car over 80% because that last 20% can take you four times as long as that first 80%, right?
Right.
Because there's a thing called a charging curve. So, like, the longer you charge into the battery, the slower the nozzle, or the smaller the nozzle gets, that, you know, is allowing the electrons to flow. It'd be like going to a gas station and, you know, the last 20% of the fuel tank, you'd be filling it up with like an eyedropper, right? So you don't never go above 80%.
But there's another thing about that too, and that is preserving the battery's integrity over a long period of time. If you can maintain a battery and not constantly cram it full of power, they can last a little bit longer. And this comes from the people who actually build these things. I know a lot of you guys are like, oh, no, it doesn't. You can charge it 100%, 90% of the time. I'm just telling you what they told me. And it makes sense. You're not overcooking the battery. It is about heat and how the heat is transferred, too.
Yeah, so we want to do this podcast while we're still fresh. We're 259 miles into the trip. It's going to be 2,500 miles, so we've gone 10%.
10%.
Yeah, it's going to take us 48 hours, so it's going to be, you know, 2 days and two nights. And finally, the other reason we chose this car, like I said, I think there are only two other vehicles that charge as quick or quicker than this, and that's the Porsche Taycan and the Hummer EV.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Hummer would have been fun, but...
That would burn not so much power.
Would require a lot of energy to get it across the country.
So when I drove that Lightning up to Alaska, we were getting like maybe 1.6 miles per, like half of this.
Yeah.
So that once again means, you know, you're half as efficient, so you got to spend twice as much time charging, you get it.
Yep, yep.
And the other great thing about this car is it's got really good, what's called ADAS, right? Which is basically all the safety gear. So right now, I've got lane centering on.
Yeah, lane keep assist.
Yep, I've got proximity control on, so it's keeping me at 75 miles an hour, which, by the way, like if we went from 75 to 85 or 95, we can go faster, but exponentially, we'd use more power, so we'd spend more time staying
Even right now, frankly, I would rather be going slower, but the speed limit is 75, and we don't want to be one of those guys who's, you know, going too slow. So we're keeping it at the speed limit in this case, but its sweet spot seems to be between 60 and 65 miles per hour, I think, is really where it's happiest. And we, at one point, were up to, what, 3.4 kilowatt hour?
It
was doing really good.
But keep in mind, also, I think we're going uphill, right? We're starting at the coast, and we're kind of going in it. So the way we're doing this trip is we're on the southern route, so we're on I-10 right now.
So we'll be on here for a while.
Starting California, went to Arizona, then we kind of kissed New Mexico, going to Texas. That's going to be a long one.
Yeah, 800 miles plus.
Then Louisiana, and then it's either Alabama or Mississippi, Alabama, and then we get to Florida, the Panhandle, and hey, we're there. No, we're not. We got to go all the way down to Orlando.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to Orlando.
All right.
So, yeah.
So let's do this before we get too, you know, if we do this 48 hours from now, it'd be a much different podcast.
We're doing it during daylight hours, and we have a nice long stretch here where it's pretty much a straight run, so even Roman might manage to avoid these huge trucks who, by the way, like to pass right when they're going uphill, I noticed.
That's their favorite
time to pass.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about that list that Zach put together for us. Like I said, the average new car price is now well over $45,000, which to me is
But we're talking about the least expensive cars that you can buy.
So we're talking about cars that are way under that number. And let's face it, with COVID and supply chain issues, cars have gotten obscene, both new and used cars. So we thought, hey, if you guys are out there and you need a new car and you don't want to go the used car route, because in some cases, used cars can be more expensive than new cars still.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Why don't you start us off on that list and see what Zach has given us as background.
So we're going to go from 10 to 1, 10 being the most expensive of the 10 least expensive, and then 1 being the very least expensive.
What are all those notes? What did he say?
Yep, I'm going to get there in a minute. So now bear in mind that dealer inventory seems to be rebounding, but there may be some weirdness depending on the car and also depending on what the dealer says about MSRP, as you guys know about dealer markups and whatnot. There are also other things out there that you should keep in mind, including dealers adding extra fees that you may not know about, like some warranty fees and whatever. Keep that in mind. That might happen. It actually almost happened to me.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about your new truck purchase at the end of this podcast?
We'll do it at the end.
Yeah, because it's interesting because you went through that gauntlet of dealer BS, right?
Yeah, quite a bit of it, actually. The actual MSRP for the least expensive and a rough idea of what those prices are, all of that plays out when you guys actually do your due diligence, because remember that one state might be less expensive than another state, and blah, blah, blah. Keep that in mind, guys, okay? So, with that in mind,
what's number 10?
Number 10 is the Toyota Corolla L at $21,520.
Are we getting less expensive as we go down the list?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. So there will be cars that are under $20,000?
Yes. Now, the average dealer pricing ranges from $22,500 to $23,000 for the Toyota Corolla L. Also, sometimes dealerships will do an order where they're bringing in cars that have a few options added to them, and that also might be a negotiation point.
So here's the first problem, right, with these inexpensive cars. They're hard to get because dealers don't order a lot, right? Yep. A dealer makes a lot more on a car that's $50,000 than they make on a car that's $21,000, so they load these cars up because there's a lot more profit in getting all the bells and whistles.
Absolutely, and not only that, but they still profit even if, you know, you're like, oh, well, you're really close to MSRP. Yeah, well, only a couple hundred dollars above MSRP. That's just great. You know what? Even if they were at MSRP, they're still profiting. You know, just keep that in mind.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this truck almost ran us over. So yeah. There's a gas truck who apparently is upset that we're driving an electric vehicle. And
wow.
Yeah, that's why he did that.
Yeah, yeah. Like he couldn't wait a minute while we got past it.
He couldn't. Okay, let's move on.
All right, what do you think of the Corolla L? Let's talk about the Corolla.
Yeah. The Toyota Corolla in general, first of all, I believe that is the sedan. The sedans are more expensive than the hatchback versions of the Corolla. And that car is great with one exception.
Okay, what's
backseat
that?
Backseat space is terrible.
Okay.
No bueno.
No bueno, huh?
No bueno. But trunk space is decent. The car does everything well. I mean, it's a Corolla, and Corollas have a very solid reputation. Basically, a Corolla is just one step away from a Camry, not only in terms of its reputation of being reliable and solid, but also the new Corolla that exists today is almost the same size as the Camry that came out in the mid-80s. That
yeah.
particular model of Camry, I think it was like the fourth generation Camry. So, I mean, size-wise, they're about the same. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we just did a review. I was in California with Case, and Honda lent us the new Civic. I was amazed at how big that was. My friend Fred's family, when I grew up, bought nothing but Accords.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is now, we're talking 80s and 90s, right?
Right.
That Civic was bigger than the old station wagon Accord in terms of interior room. I mean, so when we say it's a small car, you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Now, there are smaller cars on this list, and we'll cover those in a bit. But, I wanted to give this guy the one-finger salute. But this is a family show.
What's that guy? Oh, no, it was this guy.
It was this guy, trust me.
It's a tanker. Okay.
I got to see it real close.
Yes, you did. All right, what's number 9?
Number 9 is a car that I happen to like quite a bit, and I like the fact that it's on this list, and that's the Kia Soul LX. Now, the price here, $21,085, but the average dealer pricing is between $20,750 and $22,000.
So they're selling at MSRP.
They're selling them at MSRP, and the good news here is that it's a really decent car. It really is. Look, I'm not in love with continuously variable transmissions. You're going to get one. I don't believe they're doing the turbo this year. I think they discontinued it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Are you in love with hamsters? Is that?
No, actually, I'm not.
But soft spot in your heart for that?
I love a logical car that gives you a lot of utility and a lot of kit for the price.
So here's the thing about the Soul, right? It kind of came on and became kind of the it car, right? It had this clever marketing campaign. The last generation did something that's very hard to do, and that is, it attracted both male and female buyers. You know,
young and old.
Young and old. It was just hit every demographic, and it quickly became their fastest selling, most popular car.
But
right?
There's a good reason for that,
so,
too.
So like first, new drivers bought them because they were safe and they were affordable. Empty nesters bought them because they were safe and they were affordable and they had a lot of room.
Yeah.
So when you're moving, you know, your parakeets or your parrots or your dogs.
Or even kids. If you have a small family.
New families bought them, yeah.
Yeah.
And then this current generation, they kind of tweaked the styling. And I don't like it as much as the old one. It's a little bit too sci-fi. Does that make sense?
What you mean. I don't mind it so much, but I still like the second generation. It's still my favorite of the Souls.
Yeah.
And also the original turbo of that when they brought it out. They do have Redline? Was that it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and some other stuff out there. They got rid of some of the other trims. They've changed a few things around. But all in all, you get a lot of stuff for the money with this car, which is huge.
And it's also kind of like a baby crossover, right? Even though it really isn't.
It's not a crossover. And they even had a fake version of it, which looked a little off-roady. It wasn't. It never has been. It's never been all-wheel drive.
It's always been front-wheel drive.
Right. And they also have an electric version. We're not referring to that one either.
Yeah, I drove not the current generation, the previous.
Previous one, yeah.
Yeah, and that one didn't have. It was a California compliance car. Not bueno. No bueno there, Nathan.
Yeah, that was very basic and simple. Well, obviously, they've moved a long way from there.
You know our friend Alex from.
Alex Dykes.
Yeah, new car buyer's guy. He's rebranding himself. If you guys don't know who he is, he's one of the YouTubers that we see a lot on these new car programs. He had one as a long-term car for a while,
mm-hmm.
And he was very happy with it. He was, you know, he was very complimentary of the thing.
Yeah.
Electric one.
Yeah, the electric one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had it in Northern California, too.
Yeah.
The next one on our list.
Number 8.
And I preface this with, keep in mind that Hyundai and Kia are going to be dominant on this list. It's not because we want them to be there. It's because they price cars to be here. And that would be the Kia Forte LX. And that comes in at $20,585. Average dealer pricing ranges between $20,585 to $21,880.
Once again, they seem like they're selling at MSRP.
Right.
I like the Forte. It's a little, fun intro car, you know, first car. It's good for that. You know, it's like if you're got a high school driver or you've got a kid that's going to college, that's a really great car for them. So they won't have any issues with it.
I think it's a great commuter car. Yeah. I have a friend who does not like large vehicles. He wanted a new car with just a warranty. He wanted to be done with it. He doesn't like driving, doesn't like cars.
I went on the program of it.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of made it, I remember it was raining. I hate when it rains because it was like,
it's hard to film.
It was pouring down rain. And even in the rain, it had a little bit of like pizzazz.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little anonymous. You know what I mean? If you like drive through the Target parking lot, there'll be a lot of them there and you won't notice them.
Yeah, I would agree with you. They're a very popular rental car. I personally think that the Soul's a little bit more logical. He didn't like it, but he liked the standard sedan Forte, and he was thrilled with it. And I believe he got his last year for about 20.
Have you noticed one thing about this list so far? They're all cars with real names. I like that. Right?
B796-42.
Yeah. TRS-15. Whatever that means. Turbo.
Yeah, not a whole lot of turbos on this list. So the next one on this list is the least expensive all-wheel drive vehicle you can buy in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already interested. Lay it on me, my man.
That is the Subaru Impreza base sedan, coming in at $20,815.
Now, as you know, we don't get Subarus to review because they don't like working with us. So I have nothing intelligent or stupid to say about it because I don't think I've driven one. The only thing I know is if I was going to get an all-wheel drive Impreza, I'd get the Crosstrek because it's
absolutely
because it's a couple thousand dollars more, maybe like $3,000 more.
No, it's not that much more,
is it?
No, it's not.
And, you know, you get that 9 inches of ground clearance and
yes.
the cladding, and it's just if you're going to go there, get the one you know that looks cooler.
But if you need all-wheel drive, you need a little bit of ground clearance, yeah. As far as I'm concerned. If you're in snow country or if you're in a place that has you know real dirt roads you have to traverse, the Crosstrek is a brilliant little car. We owned one.
Yeah, we bought it like 3 years ago now, two years ago.
Three.
$23,000 before. It was right before like all the prices went sky high.
Yep.
And, you know, we reviewed it and then we sold it. TFL sold it to our videographer, Ian. And he's now put on 30,000 trouble-free miles, Nathan.
Well, the thing is, an iron little horse. My complaint has always been, and probably will maintain as long as they keep doing it, the CVT takes away from fun, takes away from performance, provides a very efficient car, though. These are really efficient for all-wheel drive vehicles, and once again, at the prices, and this one, by the way, average dealer pricing is between $20,815 all the way up to $22,615.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the Crosstrek is it can quickly get very expensive, right? Because the dealers,
yes.
they order those sports, right?
Yep.
And I remember seeing when we had one we borrowed from a dealer, I think it was, even before COVID, it was $36,000.
Yeah, you can get crazy amounts of, you know, add-ons, larger, more powerful powertrain. But we're still talking about the Impreza. And the Impreza is essentially what the Crosstrek is, but it's not lifted with all the good stuff. And this one's also the sedan, keep that in mind.
Once again, get the Crosstrek. Just stretch. And we're saying that, but today, when we're recording this, the Fed just announced that they did another rate hike, and that's going to have to affect, availability of new vehicles. It'll make, I think, new vehicles more affordable, because what's going to happen is people are not going to have the financing ability to buy new vehicles. So at some point, I think dealers are going to have to start cutting prices, and supply is going to hopefully not just meet demand, but exceed demand, Nathan.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be grand? Well, you know, back to those days with those, like, guys with their arms in the
air.
Yeah,
come and get our cars. We have too many. We'll give one away.
The holding cost is way too much for us.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a question for you.
Yes.
All right. This is what one of my guys was telling me he thinks is going to happen. Because the dealers have had it so good for so long, I'm saying, you know, they've been making money hand over fist for the last 2 years, right? Everything they get, they sell, and everything most everything they get, they sell it way over MSRP.
In many cases, yes.
Right, and now with, I think, you know, potentially an economic downturn coming in with the manufacturers finally, you know, meeting supply and hopefully exceeding it, I think the manufacturers are going to start stuffing the supply chain, basically going to dealers saying, hey, we've got 50 trucks, take it or leave it. And if the dealers say leave it, then they'll be like, the next allocation, you're going to get 10.
So, yep. Oh, I would agree with you there.
And so the manufacturers don't care if we buy them. They only care if the dealer buys them. I mean, eventually they care, but initially, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I also don't fully agree. I think that the manufacturers are caring more and more, especially with the advent of social media being so responsive to issues, and they don't like bad press. And some automakers are getting rid of some of their dealerships altogether. That being Ford is one of them.
So you're saying, here's 50 cars and trucks, take it, or, you know, hit the road, Jack?
I would say that would be one way of doing it. And then also in the future, when dealerships are looking like, hey, you're on the verge of going out, automakers are going to say, yep, we're going to take the same model, cross it between what Ford's about to do and what Tesla's doing, and basically get rid of the middleman. And I'm completely fine with that. I think dealers have been absolutely unconscionable about how they've been treating people.
I just saw Roadrunner. It was so cool.
Did you really?
Yeah, he didn't run across the road. He ran next to the road.
Yeah, one of the schools I went to was Metro State in Colorado. And
yeah,
they're the Roadrunners. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Mighty Roadrunners.
Yeah, it's a cool bird.
It's a great school.
Right,
okay.
What's next?
So the next one on our list is one that you are very familiar with, and I'll give you a hint.
All right.
Your mom owns one.
Oh, the Venue.
Yep.
Yeah, the Hyundai Venue. What a great little car.
Yeah, so the pricing here is $20,295. Now, Zach's notes here say, one of the exceedingly few crossovers you can get for around this price. I don't think it's a crossover. I know it kind of looks like one.
It's a teeny tiny crossover.
It's a hatchback. It's not all-wheel drive. It's front-wheel drive, and there's no option for all-wheel drive.
So we bought, my mom is in her 70s. Well, she won't tell me, but definitely her 70s.
Well, she's got to be considering.
And my stepdad's in his 90s, and we bought it because it's easy to drive, right? It's got not a lot of overhang, and you can see everything around you, and it's got the full, that's a great thing Japanese and the Koreans are doing, right? They're stuffing their cars full of the latest safety stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you've got autonomous braking, you've got lane departure warning, stuff that, like, you don't even get on a $50,000 or $70,000 truck. You get on a $20,000
Venue. Yeah, it's all standard. They just cram it in there. I actually agree about the height of it, the sight lines, and also the fact that
easy to get in out of.
Old people can put their butt on the seat really easily without falling into a car or climbing into the car.
And it doesn't, because it's, you know, a relatively affordable car, it's not stuffed full of technology, so, like, it doesn't have navigation, so if you plug it in, you can use...
You can use your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and but it does have a lot of the safety tech, is what we're referring to.
And it's fuel efficient.
Yes.
It's frugal.
It's extremely frugal. You do get a four-cylinder engine, you get a continuously variable transmission. There's no option for anything else in that respect in terms of powertrain. Now, the average dealer pricing is ranging between $20,440 to $21,320.
Pass on the right.
Yeah, I love it when, especially when they can clearly see that another truck is trying to pass.
I know, it's typical. When I was growing up, there were all these, like, you were probably not too far behind me,
not
right?
Not that far, yeah.
Like, look at this mess this guy's doing. He's trying to pass on the left, and now these other trucks.
It jams up everybody else and enforces passenger
cars.
Remember when,
like, hey, if you got stuck, call a trucker, they'll help you out?
Yeah.
These guys are more likely to run you off the road.
Or take a sledgehammer to your
head. And I'm sure if you're a trucker, you're like, hey, just knock it off. We've seen plenty of it, you know, stupidity from car drivers, but passing on the right when a truck is trying to pass.
Well, especially bullying and everything else, especially when everybody else is going the speed limit or even over the speed limit. You got some guy who's, you know, cranking and just wants to get by everybody else.
And
look at all this.
Yeah, we had a truck in our left lane going 67, and there were two trucks who passed him on the right going 75. And finally, this guy it's a road train, and he's got two trailers, right?
Yeah.
Finally was able to move over.
Yeah, it's, we know we have to be patient with these guys, but I got to be honest with you, they keep this up, automation doesn't sound like a bad replacement in some cases.
So you're saying, beware, guys.
Well, they damn well know it. I mean, they're
Musk
screaming about it.
For your job.
Oh, they're more than just Musk,
with
but yeah.
Full self-trucking.
Now, while we're on Hyundai, once again, as I told you guys, they dominate this list, Hyundai and Kia. The next one on the list, number five.
There's a BMW on my butt. Hold on, I just want to get past this truck.
Okay.
Sorry. I know you guys are probably about to comment if you're watching this on video. Hey, don't you see the BMW?
Yeah, we do, but we're also passing a truck right now.
Yeah, so just, you don't see what's up front, so just give me a break.
I'm not going to give him a break. I'm riding with him. I get to make fun of him all I want. Okay, so this Hyundai Accent, I'm actually kind of surprised they'll build the Hyundai Accent because of the venue.
What a blast from the past.
Yeah, the Accent is really an anonymous vehicle. It's not that popular, I would say. It never really enjoyed the popularity I think it deserved. It was a decent car, always. Hyundai Accent SE, right now. Now, bear in mind, this is probably going away. That's why I'm mentioning this. $17,740. Average dealer pricing ranges between $17,500 and $20,500. So they are bumping them a bit. Hyundai is dropping the Accent after this particular model year. And yeah, the venue then will be officially their least expensive car.
Let's talk about
and it makes sense.
Let's talk about the various ways that dealers have to skin the cat, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously the most egregious that I think people would certainly see as being over the top is when they take like a Z and they put a 50 or a 70 or even, you know, double the price of it and just put adjusted market adjustment, right? Market adjustments are the easiest way. But there's other tricks that they have up their sleeves. Like, I remember we tried to buy that little electric Mini. And we found one here in California, actually just one state over.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, it's got LoJack. And I'm like, how much is LoJack? He's like, $500. I'm like, LoJack, I remember that, but people still do that? Because LoJack is like a little, it's like an air tag, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
$25 tag they hide in your vehicle that then hopefully if it gets stolen, I'm like, but the vehicle tells me where it is on my app.
Yeah.
Right? It knows where it's at. So why do I need LoJack to tell me where it's at when in the BMW/Mini app, it tells me its exact location. So they just put an air tag in there and charge you $500 for it.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a little bit more to it, but the point is that...
I'm sure there's some...
But that's an example of something...
You notify the police and there's a database, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, if you call the police and notice your car is gone and do a report and they know where it is because you have a tag in it, then everything's great. So, here's a consumer advice. Instead of getting LoJack, you just get an AirTag, keep it in your car
all the time. But they're not doing it because they care about the safety of your family. They're doing it just to jack up the price. So, when, of course, my dad was buying cars, rust-proofing, you know.
Yeah,
$1,000 worth of undercoating was huge.
Winter tone. Do we want to get some special toner on your car?
Pinstriping.
Oh, a pinstripe, extra pinstripe, or you want tinting on that back window, we'll hook you up. That was back in the day, and it's definitely gone on to another level.
Yeah, how about like all the accessories that you don't need? Oh, it already has mats. No, we got to give you these special mats.
Yeah, should I mention my situation? We'll wait until we're done
with what I would do. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, but yes, indeed, there's a lot of that going on, and we'll circle back to that.
And then, of course, extended warranties. We're not even going to get
I'll mention that too.
Because the fine print there is, you know, very important. There are some that may be useful, but most of them are just, especially if you have a new car, you know, unless you're one of those people who keeps their car for 20 years, right? The chances are it's going to be covered under the manufacturer warranty.
Yeah, I personally have dealings with that as well, and used car warranties. So there's an awful lot that you can do by just a little bit of due diligence based on what you're looking at and also the warranty company. Once again, we'll circle back to that a little bit. We'll touch on that topic again. So let's get to the next one on the list. Big surprise, another Hyundai product, but this is from Kia, and it's the Kia Rio LX. Remember that?
Yeah, it's a little tiny thing.
Yeah, the Kia Rio was that was always their entry level car for years and years and years. And
it sounds fun, doesn't it, Rio?
Yeah, you kind of jazz it out a little bit. Ooh, fun! Yeah, you got a Rio and a Carnival, and you can have yourself a party.
Rio Carnival.
The Carnival's a minivan for those of you who don't know.
You think of like people half naked people partying in the streets. That's what I think of when I think of
Rio. If they're half naked hanging out near a Rio, I don't really want to know them. Okay, $17,645. So. It's not too bad, but the average dealer pricing is between $17,645 and $19,495. I saw one last year. Once again, I was helping my friend when he was looking at a different Kia, and it was $25,000, and I could not figure out why it was so damn expensive. You know why it was expensive?
LoJack?
clear bra.
Okay, clear bra.
And they...
Undercoating?
No.
Extended warranty?
And you're getting close. You're getting really close with the pinstriping.
Ceramic coating.
Custom paint.
A wrap? Yeah. Was it a wrap?
It was a wrap.
Okay.
It was,
The dealer wrapped it?
The dealer wrapped it.
Oh.
And then they jagged that and on like another $4,000 or something.
Here's another thing the dealers do for trucks. I like when they have like those like built out trucks that they, you know,
they're special builds.
Yeah, they park in front of the dealership, and you know, some of them are cool, but a lot of them are just like, you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's a high country lift. That's about $50 per.
Yeah, and there's corner. This is a $10,000 bill, this is.
Exactly.
And I'll give it to you for $8,000.
Yeah, those aren't King Shocks under there, no.
Yeah, it can get pretty bad. So let's talk about that Kia Rio. Kia Rio is very similar in terms of like the Hyundai accent. It's their entry-level vehicle. Right now, Kia Rio is still going strong. As far as I know, they're not discontinuing it, at least for this upcoming year. So it's still there. They used to have a little wagon version of that. It was a hatchback.
Yeah, I remember.
But it was like a wagon.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a really, when it was like that, it was kind of cool. It was useful.
That was one you'd notice in the Walmart / Target parking lot.
Oh, come on. I mean, you know, it was a good college car, too. So the setup was pretty good. Now, the next one on the list.
We're getting cheaper here.
We're getting super cheap. We're down to the last three. So this is number three.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, this is the one I would have chosen for least expensive. But our buddy Zach here put it up. Oh, I can see why now. Because some of the cars that are on this list from this point forward will be discontinued.
The Diamante?
No, the Diamante's been gone for years. Come on.
But
you're close, right?
The Mirage.
The Mitsubishi Mirage ES is at 17.6. The hatchback is $1,000 cheaper than the G4 sedan, which strikes me as odd because... at least the hatchback looks sort of okay.
It rolls down 13s, if I'm not
something
mistaken.
Tiny. But the sedan looks really funky to me. It almost looks like a Toyota Echo.
All right, now here is where we're getting into cars that I don't know if I could wholeheartedly recommend.
Because I would.
A lot of these cars, while they're fine appliances, they're not safe appliances, right?
No. You can't say that.
Wait, no, I can.
They're totally safe. The safety rating on it's decent, and the next two are pretty good.
I'll tell you why. It's because of size, right? If you get that truck that the dealer's selling with the high country lift, that Ram, if you're rolling on 13s and that truck runs into you, it's going to run you over. I'm not talking about the safety rating of the car. I'm just talking about the physics of the situation, right? Right, you live in a place like Colorado or even here in Arizona, and there are these monster lifted trucks, and I'm starting to get to the point where I feel very unsafe being in something small and compact, and especially something small and subcompact.
Okay, I can understand your point, but guess what? Everything you just said is completely rubbish. I disagree with you, because any car that you're in next to another giant truck that's hit with something that has a 13-inch lift is going to suffer significantly. In fact, if you're in a Jeep Wrangler, or if you're in, a Toyota Corolla.
I don't know.
Your head height is part of the deal, and where the crush zones are on the car.
Well, then I feel like in that Escalade over there, going on the other way.
So these people can afford an Escalade? A brand new Escalade?
No, but at this point, I might actually start thinking about a used vehicle.
No, I disagree. Because there's people in certain businesses that can't do that for various reasons financially.
So you know that we just bought a Fiat 500.
Okay, now come on. That's a different story.
Cinquecento,
yes.
1971. Like,
I can put it on my lap and cradle it.
We actually using it as office furniture. It fits in our office.
It does.
But that's an example of a car that I feel like you want to drive that on the weekend to get some ice cream on a very beautiful day, and nowhere near any highways or traffic.
Yes. Okay. With something like that, or some sort of old MG or whatever, going cross-country could be a little scary.
And then the other thing about the Mirage is it's been around a long time, so I don't think it's got the latest and greatest safety tech.
It actually has quite a few standard features.
Does it?
Not only that, but it also...
Does it have autonomous braking, I wonder?
It has a version that is similar, and also it has lane departure warning and a whole bunch of other stuff. So
how many airbags?
Come on, like I know that off the top of my head.
I don't know. We have to Google it. But anyway.
But I can tell you that it has plenty, and it passes safety. It doesn't have the best scores, but it also doesn't have the worst. It's actually a relatively safe car. I researched that, put a whole article on tflcar.com about it and how it deserves a little bit more respect.
This guy's moving.
Yeah. Screw him.
I just don't want to have him run into me.
Oh, it's actually a Toyota Class C motorhome. dolphins. Yeah, those are actually kind of cool, but they're slow. Okay, so the Mirage, we're not going to go into this whole thing because I know you have a certain bias against it, but let's talk about a car that's actually bigger.
Okay.
And yet less expensive.
Let me not be clear. I think Mitsubishi's building some actually interesting cars again,
yeah.
But the Mirage is not one of them.
Well, no, but it's built to have an entry-level vehicle for people who actually need a car with a decent warranty.
All right.
Very, very, very good engineering if you're thinking about economy. It is the most economical car that's not a hybrid.
All right, let me just be as plain-spoken as I can. There are basically two cars that I would keep away from. That's one of them. What are the other two?
Okay.
What do you think are the other two? There's two other cars that
What are the other two cars? Yeah. Tesla.
No. What other two cars? Come on. One's a Ford. You can guess it. Actually reviewed it.
Oh, yeah. So the Ford F-150 Lightning.
No, not the Ford F-150 Lightning. Come on.
Built
in India. Not that that makes it bad.
Well, initially it was, yeah. The Ford EcoSport, they call EcoSport, or
right,
maybe
exactly.
It's the other way around.
Yeah. We had that in the office, and let's face it, it didn't exactly, like, wow with its...
There's nothing really wrong with it, but there's nothing really right with it. I'm sorry, it's just a very simple vehicle. All-wheel drive system works fine. Actually, one thing I do like about it was one of the easiest vehicles ever to park. Ever. The way it's shaped and how snubby it is, very short overhangs front and rear, parking that thing is it's one of the easiest cars I've ever parked.
Yeah, I would just say inexpensive cars don't have to be cheap.
Well,
I'd leave it at that.
Okay, you could say that, but really, if you're a person on a budget, and I get it, a lot of these cars make a lot more sense. Okay, the next one on this list, and I'm glad it's here, and I'm surprised it's actually less expensive than the Mirage, is the Nissan Versa S. And I used to hate the Versa because I thought it was the ugliest car on the road. But then they started making it nicer, especially with the Versa Note from the last generation.
Yeah, the Note was good. The original Versa, when it was the cheapest car you could buy in America, once again, you know, you can make it inexpensive, but you don't have to make it cheap. That one was not great.
There were things about it that were still good.
The Note got much better.
Yeah, well, the regular Versa has always had some of the best backseat volume in the industry for its size and good trunk space. Not my favorite car, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but the new one, and they recently completely redid it, and it's a lot like a baby Sentra now. It really is. It looks like one. It's got a lot more style, a lot more pizzazz.
Yeah, Nissan's kind of come out of the doldrums.
In some ways. Okay, so this one, Nissan Versa S, that's the base model, $16,675. I think it's actually kind of a bargain. Now, this is Zach's notes. One of the few cars you can still get with a 5-speed manual.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. But that's also at the lowest price because some cars actually charge you more to get the manual now.
Right.
You know? Yeah, there are a couple of cars, and Mazda is one of them.
But you got to figure that most of the people who are in that category probably don't know how to drive a manual. Some might, but a lot won't.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how quickly you can learn. We have no choice. Okay, so.
Oh, God. Are you recommending that they buy the car not knowing how to drive a manual,
yeah.
And then they bring it home, and then they figure it out along the way? God help you if you live in San Francisco.
So, I lived there for a little bit, and I had a manual, and I made it happen.
Yes, I'm saying, if you don't know how
to drive a manual. What a great place to learn, too.
Yes, that is the baptism of fire here.
It works, but.
Take it down Lombard Street.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
If dealerships had somebody who actually worked there who taught someone for free how to drive a manual transmission.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, I think Hagerty does that.
Okay, so anyway, let's move on. More about the Versa, though. So the more common ones, obviously, will be the CVTs if you're buying from a dealer. Now, average dealer pricing is between $17,000 all the way up to $20,000.
Oh, they're marking those bad boys up.
Right. So you got to keep that in mind. Now, Nissan really needs to not do that, but dealerships just don't care in many cases. And it's bad for the whole company in terms of just the look, right? No matter what, they can't really control the dealers. And so when they pull that stuff, it kind of irritates me because the car is not worth that, even though it's a decent car. By the way, the safety suite that Nissan uses on the Versa, a lot of standard features, one of the safest cars in its class, and its safety ratings are outstanding. That I know, I remember that, for a very small car.
All right, are we at number one, please?
Yes, we are at number one. Now, bear in mind, this is one of the ones I was mentioning before. It's going away.
Okay.
and it is the Chevrolet Spark.
Oh, Spang. Spark, yeah.
Spark.
An old Daewoo.
Well, it is. The platform, yes. It's another one, though, that was built for certain countries, including India, third world countries, what have you. And that vehicle comes in at $14,595 if you can find one. They're really hard to find, especially with a manual transmission. They're almost impossible to find without.
It was Spark, Sonic, right? In the small hatchback.
Sonic's gone.
Yeah, I know.
I actually kind of like the Sonic, especially the turbo. So the average dealer pricing on this car goes from $14,595 all the way up to $17,785. One of the ones that I helped someone purchase recently, a viewer of ours for a very long time who asked me to help, got it for $18,000, but it was the mid-level with a lot of extra goodies.
Not a lot of room.
No, it's only built for four. Even though you could fit a fifth person in the back seat, they have this little counter there where you can put, drinks.
There's no seat belts. There's no seat belts.
And so when you would compare it to something like the Mitsubishi Mirage, the Mirage does have that seat belt if you need to put three people in the back. So keep that in mind. You can only hold four people in the Spark. And there's nothing wrong with the Spark. It's not fast. But you do get, you know what's really cool? The infotainment system. GM was ahead of the game when the Spark initially came out because you could plug your phone in and everything from your phone went right up on this little 6 or 7 inch screen.
Yeah, I remember.
And it worked great.
Remember we had the EV, right?
Yeah, we...
Forget about that?
Yes, I tried to. The regular gas one just made a lot more sense.
We had the 2014, which had a total of 60 miles of range.
Yeah, it did not do great with range. Well, it was really quick.
It was.
It's quicker than my daughter's Leaf.
Yes, woo! Yes. All right, so before we get to your experience with your brand new vehicle that you just bought.
Yeah.
That actually was delivered while you were on this Cannonball run, which sucks because I'm sure...
Yeah, I hear it's nice. I hear the car's nice.
Yeah, truck.
Truck. I hear the truck is nice.
Let's talk about just off the top of our heads, because the one thing that those cars all have in common is that they're not fun. Right? So let's talk about cars that we would buy that are affordable and fun. And you can't say Miata, because that's a cliche. But the one that I was just driving, which cost $30,000, was the Honda Civic Turbo. With the manual. And that car is fun, and it's fast.
Yes.
And it's, 30,000. So we're into the threes now, but nevertheless, if you can stretch your budget.
Oh, I can beat your number easily.
All right, go for it.
We just had it, and I just did a video on it right before I hopped on the plane to come here.
The Jetta.
Yes.
GLI.
Not the GLI. The S.
Oh, you had the S.
Yes, with the tiny little turbocharged engine. It had a manual transmission.
Yeah.
And it's not... exciting, scintillating. It's not like the GLI. It's not like a GTI. It's not, no. But for a car that gets outstanding gas mileage, over 40 miles per gallon on the highway, decent manual transmission setup. The throws aren't too bad, kind of a mushy clutch, and really grabby brakes. But it handled really well, and it was zippy up in Colorado where
How much was it?
$23,000.
Yeah, so that's been around a while, right? The toolings are probably paid for at this point.
Yeah, and you're talking about a car, but the standard features are good.
And it smells like a Volkswagen, which is good. Right, you get in there, I think there's that Volkswagen smell.
Yeah, and it's fairly... Yeah, a little bit, even though it's not really a European build on that car.
It reminds me of the Autobahn and...
I think it's a screaming deal for a car that's not small.
Weiss beer.
Yeah.
That's what I drink my beer. That's what reminds me of.
Bitburger.
I'm going to go with Apfelsoff Schuller.
I'm going to go with Dark Castle. I don't know what Dark Castle is. I really do think that that's a great bargain for 23.
I agree.
There's a couple other ones that are in that zone as well. The Civic is absolutely a great car. I was a little disappointed when we had that Honda or that Toyota Corolla hatch, obviously not the Gazoo racing one. It was the hatch. It was sort of their entry level hatch, but one step above that, and it had the manual, and it just wasn't fast.
Yeah,
and it didn't feel very sporty, but it was a perfectly good car. It was well put together, but nothing about it excited me.
Now the cars that used to be affordable and fun, like the BRZ and the GR86, right? The new versions of those are also unobtainium, and they're selling over sticker.
You can't find them, and if you do find them, they're going to be way over sticker. Yeah. It's very difficult to find.
So that can't be on our list because they're not gettable. So we have to look at cars that are kind of sporty, but aren't like, you know, the super.
How much was Tommy's electric Mini?
Back in the day, that was very affordable. It was the cheapest electric vehicle you could buy. I think it was with the with the discount. You could get it for $20,000. I think it was like $28,000, and then you got $7,500.
That's provided that you could get that discount and you're in the right state for that. So
No. It was federal. $7,500 federal, because they still have their tax credits.
Yeah, but you still have to make it to a certain level to get
that tax credit. Income. Oh, yeah, for sure. I thought you meant state.
Well, then there's the state one that you can get on top of that in some cases.
Yeah. In Colorado, if you qualified, you could have got, at that point, $9,000 off. So it would have been 28 minus 9, 19,000.
Yeah.
That's a really fun car, yeah.
Yeah, but once again, it's not money in your pocket. That's a whole different podcast.
I think the base Mini has gotten expensive, too. If you just get the base, non-John Cooper work.
It's less than 30. I remember that. I think it was 27. That's what sounds right. But that electric Mini was a screaming bargain if you were able to get it and get those discounts.
And if you can live with 114 miles
around. That's the issue, is the range. But that thing was super quick and super fun. It drove like a Mini.
Now, we just had the Bolt at the office, and I got to drive that home one night.
I think it's decent.
It's okay, but the one we had was $38,000, and GM was out of tax credit, so 38 is what you're paying for it.
Yes, but you are forgetting something, my friend.
What's that?
The regular Chevy Bolt comes with a discount, provided that you sign off on a few things from General Motors, and it'll give you up to $6,500 off on the car. It's not a discount that's going for taxes. This is in your pocket money, and that's on tflcar.com. You can read about it. Zach's covered it.
Or alltfl.com.
Or alltflcar.com.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. Electric cars, we know, are expensive. There's no real affordable ones right now. And gasoline cars, while they're less expensive, the fun ones are also in the threes, not in the twos, for the most part.
For the most part, there's a couple ones.
So tell me about your truck.
Ah, okay.
Tell them what it is.
Okay, guys, and we'll be doing some videos on this, I promise you. I promised everybody videos, they've asked for them. I bought a 2023 Hyundai Santa Cruz.
Woohoo!
And I got the SEL model.
It's sitting in your driveway?
My wife had to pick it up from the... So I flew out here to go to SEMA, right? And then the day after SEMA, so we were only there for one day, Andre's still there, and we drove down to Anaheim and came to this thing. So as I'm leaving SEMA, my wife sends me a message saying, the dealership finally got your car, they want you to come back get it. Yeah, I'm sorry, honey, you gotta get it for me. So I didn't even get to pick up my car from the dealership. I haven't purchased a new car for myself in 21 years. So I was kind of excited, and it kind of took away from that. I had to wait almost 4 months to get it.
And did you pay sticker, Nathan?
Yes. Exactly, sticker. Yeah. So about 30 grand.
Yeah. Which is still, you know, for a truck, it's not bad, even though it's a Mini truck. Did you consider the Maverick?
Yes, I did.
That would have probably been a longer way.
It would have been, but a cheaper car.
Yeah.
Or a cheaper truck.
Yeah.
So what I did was, this is the benefit of working at TFL, is that I actually was able to put them next to each other, and I had a Ridgeline at the same time. All of them were there, and I was able to jump in and out of each one of them and kind of figure out which one I'm most comfortable in, and kind of thinking about what would work best. And even though the version of the Maverick that I was looking at versus the version of the Santa Cruz, there was about a $2,000 difference, and the Maverick would have been less expensive, I wasn't as comfortable in the seats. The Maverick seats for me were a little harder, and just I wasn't able to get as comfortable. And I also didn't like the display. The display in the Maverick sort of angles in a weird way. I know this is nitpicking, guys, but this is a car that I'm going to be spending my money on. I'm going to have a cheapskate, and I want to research the hell out of it. So as much as I loved the Maverick, and I still think it's a fantastic vehicle, I think that for me, and for what I needed to do, and for a car my wife is going to drive a lot, and she's driving it now, I thought that the Santa Cruz made a little bit more sense, and it was more comfortable for me.
Yeah, and it's also built here, so that's cool.
Yeah, built in Alabama.
Yeah, it doesn't come from Korea.
Nope.
And the other thing about the Santa Cruz, where some of you may be yelling at the podcast earbuds that you're wearing right now, don't you know that the dual clutch has been recalled?
Not a problem.
We have that one, but you didn't buy the dual clutch.
No. So one of the reasons I wanted the SEL, I could have, for a couple grand more, I could have gotten the turbo. And the turbo would have been great because I want extra power. But that dual clutch has always bothered me. And we've gone off-road with them. We've cooked them before. And they're just not great in stop-and-go traffic. And Denver has a lot of stop-and-go traffic.
Yeah, the Koreans are still doing dual clutches.
Yeah.
Germans all went away from it. I don't understand it.
On performance cars, it makes sense.
Yeah, if you're on a track, nothing better.
Yes.
But any other application,
I'm not too into it. So yeah. I started doing some research. I've driven a lot of vehicles, and I drove one of the regular ones. Actually, I drove an SE. And I realized, hey, it's got plenty of power. I mean, it's 192, I think, horsepower on the four-cylinder without the turbo. And it has the 8-speed automatic transmission, a proper automatic transmission. And that's been a transmission they've been using for years. It's been pretty solid, no major issues. The engine is pretty solid, no major issues. So after doing all this research, I decided, you know what? I would rather go err on the side of caution. I'm not going to be towing much. There's a little trailer I'll probably be towing that weighs about 2,000 pounds, 2,500 pounds. The version I have tows up to 3,500 pounds, piece of cake.
And you didn't get that tonneau cover either, right? That takes
no, God, no. That's the thing is that if you get the SEL, which is what I got, yeah. If you get the activity package, yeah. It's $3,000 more, I think even more than that. And that gives you the tonneau cover, which has that extendable thing, and it gives you the roof rails. That's the only thing I regret not getting.
I always have
and a sunroof.
Time pronouncing the tonneau cover.
Tonneau cover. Right. That cover, which is a roll top style,
takes like a good foot of space.
Exactly. So it's really good. You know, it's solid, and it'll keep your stuff pretty dry and safe in there. But the other side of it is, because it's a roll top, it takes up all of this space because it rolls into a container, and you lose like a foot of space in what is slightly over a 4-foot bed. And you need every inch you're going to get. Boy, story of people's lives. So I decided I didn't need it. I didn't want it. Also, it has the in-bed storage, kind of like the Ridgeline, but smaller. And I figured, okay, if I really need to lock something away that's important, if it can't go in the cab and if it's small, it can go in there. All right. So that's what I decided, not to get that roll top thing. I didn't need the sunroof. I don't need the opening rear window because it's really the size of my fist. It's small. It's a tiny opening window. And
it's manual.
Yeah, and I saved over $3,000.
Which is hard because if you're driving it by yourself, you can't open it really.
Yeah.
You can't get around. Anyway, congratulations, Nathan.
Thanks. I got a tow package, though. It's the only option I got.
What color?
It is sage gray, but sage is actually green. So it is a green color that my son thinks looks like the Mandalorian green.
Oh, that is true. That's
no, not the Mandalorian. Sorry, Boba Fett. Okay. Boba Fett green.
Yeah, it's cool.
I like it. I think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll do a full video on that.
Oh, we're going to do it. I want to put them side by side, the base model, or almost the base model, next to the one we have, which is not quite top of the line. It's kind of edging it, though. It's interesting that the differences between them.
All right, guys. Well, by the time you're listening to this, we hopefully would have driven all the way across country in a cannonball. We're at 317 miles, Nathan. That means we only have 2,200 more to go.
When you said 200, I got excited. Hey, can I tell them one more thing before we close out? I know I said I would touch on a couple other things about upgrades and people pushing. It took me about 3 weeks to find this car that I wanted to buy.
That seems short for today's crazy car.
What do I do for a living?
I know.
Right. And even that required 3 weeks for me to look.
Yeah.
And the reason I chose what I chose, and I want to give them a shout out because they didn't charge me over anything.
Okay.
And it wasn't because of me. Is Schomp, Schomp.
In Denver, yeah.
Yeah. Schomp Hyundai. And they have a whole bunch of, you know, they got Mini, they got all the other ones. But they were absolutely square with me. They said, we're not going to charge you more. Unfortunately, the order's going to take a while. They were honest about that. They did not try to push me with anything, but they did offer some extra protection plans, which aren't needed in my case. But the bottom line is that I like the fact that I wasn't screwed over. And guess what? A lot of you guys are getting screwed over. So when you get a good story, when you work with somebody who actually is square with you and doesn't overcharge you, let other people know. Help their business grow. Maybe it'll teach those other dealers, you know, hey, people can be honest and play by the rules.
Hey, I know I have to, hate to say this, but if you're a dealer out there and you actually treat your customers with respect and with dignity, they actually may come back and buy another car from you next year or the year after.
That's exactly it. Look down the road. Don't just look at your pocket immediately, which a lot of them are doing.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us on this road trip across America. We are quickly approaching Phoenix, Nathan, where we'll be doing our next charging stop.
I hope so. We're down to 58 miles.
Yes, we are. 27% of the battery pack. And as always, check out alltfl.com. Thank you to our patrons. You guys make these podcasts possible. And if you're confused while you're watching this on YouTube, this is our podcast/TFL Talk channel, so that's why you're watching it.
Yeah, from the road. I don't think this is something we're going to be doing very often.
No, but good thing we're not doing it 24 hours from now, because I think it'd be a much different show.
It's going to be rough. Yeah, we're driving this straight. Okay, guys, take care.
Ciao.
Well, I promised you something, and I'm going to give that to you. So for all of you guys watching this video, here's the time. You may not be able to see it, so I'm going to say it. It took us 46 hours and 46 minutes to drive from California nonstop, except for charging, all the way to Florida. Now, we did that because we're trying to establish not only a record, because it's a really grueling, I'll make that grueling, test of an electric car, because what you're doing is taking the charging limit and, of course, the driving limit to the maximum, at least as far as you can, and then extrapolating how quickly you can drive across the country. So it tests the comfort of the car, it tests the quickness of its charging, it tests, well, the acuity of the drivers as well. But we're proud to say that we've established this new 46-hour, 46-minute record, and if you guys want to break it, it's out there. I'd highly recommend you do the same trip that we did. I know there's a traditional Cannonball that runs from New York to Santa Monica in California, but we want to do something different. We want to do an electric Cannonball that's not only family-friendly, but it's really about charging and not about, you know, breaking the law. So thank you for listening, and come back next week when we're back in the studio and probably still tired.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.